know, that song makes me think of how our kids have been going back to school this past week or two, and I just wonder how they're feeling. The most different beginning to the school year that they've ever had. The most unique situation they've ever experienced. You know, watching Friday night football and all the things that you normally see on a, you know, beginning of school, and, you know, and then you just listen to some of these young people say, I'm not concerned at all. Jesus just went ahead of me, paved the way in my classroom, in my school, in my situation. I'm good, Pastor. I'm good to go. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear a young person saying that, that just makes me filled with joy that the power of the living God not only resonates in the church, but resonates out in the school still. Somebody's got to give praise. Somebody's got to get excited. Somebody's got to say, hey, that is exactly what we need. And I want to pray right now for our school-age children from K to 12 and those that are even in college, those that are on campuses or just doing it online like my daughter and others that are just navigating this new season of going back to school. You have absolutely no idea what each day is going to bring, but I just know that there's steadiness, perseverance, love and faithfulness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us all to agree here at Calvary Church and online as well that we want to continue to pray for the kids going back to school as they navigate this new season. But I'm believing that Jesus has already made the way. I believe that Jesus has already made the way. Let's agree together. Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that darkness trembles by the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God, that before the door was turned open at the schools throughout our community and state and nation and world, Lord God, you're paving the way. That our children will walk in safety. They'll walk from classroom to classroom with or without a mask, whatever the mandate is for their individual school. And those that feel that they need to stay home, Lord God, and go online, whatever the situation, Lord God, in Jesus' name, give them favor. Give them favored protection, Lord God. Give them a blessing, a bountiful blessing, Lord. Let them live that bountiful life. In abundance, the scripture teaches us, Lord, give them peace. Give them peace, Lord God, give them peace. We pray for them here at Calvary Church, and all the churches have been praying, Lord, we thank you that we can call upon your name. We thank you, Lord God, that the darkness just ceases as soon as you step foot in the room. Lord God, we pray right now for this service, for each and every one of us that made our way into the house, for those that are watching online, those that will watch online throughout this week. Lord God, give them an extra dose of your power to get them through. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Welcome to Calvary Church. Give somebody a wave. Since we're not hugging and shaking hands, give somebody a holy wave and say, hey, thanks for coming in. I'm thrilled you're here today. You know, you could be anywhere else ever. You know, you could be at home, you could do whatever, but you came to Calvary Church today, and I know that there are quite a few of you watching online right now. We are so appreciative, especially if you're on vacation or something and you decide that you're going to spend your vacation time watching us online at Calvary Church. So thank you very much. There's so many of you right now. I came up to the pulpit here a few minutes, and before that, I was looking online, and there's so many people that are watching us today, and our Facebook page is streaming our service, and as Nicole mentioned, so is the website at calvarylife.church, so you could always go back and see all the mistakes that your pastor made during the service a million times. You know, you can see, wow, he didn't say that right or whatever, but hey, are you navigating the school thing? I don't have any kids going back as far as K through 12, and I just was talking to Nicole the other day. Boy, what a challenge that would be, right? You've got to navigate your kids. I know we have several families in our church that have kids going back to school. What a challenge. And then the younger they get, the more of a challenge it seems like it would be. So I would encourage the Calvary Church team, our prayer team here at Calvary Church, to continue to pray for our kids as they go back to school. And you know, as Nicole mentioned, we have Wednesday night programs here. We're going to reengage, and we're just looking at the best date for that. And we've told you the last few weeks that it looked like it would be the 23rd, but we have some vacations. You know, all the vacations that everybody was supposed to take, or we usually take in the, you know, the warmer months of, you know, summer, we're kind of pushing them back because of this COVID thing, trying to see if we can't get some vacation time in. I tell you what, just go on vacation. Just if God says you need a rest and you need a rest, just go, be refreshed, come back ready to go. God will take care of you. I was talking to a good friend of mine that lives back home, and his entire family except for his one son got COVID. And so we were talking this past week, and I said, well, how are you feeling and all that? And he says, I'm doing great. I really got sick for a few days, but my wife got sick, and she's got a blood clot now because of a medical condition. But, you know, he's a believer, and he said, you know, God's just faithful. We'll be all right. You know, his son got COVID. He's only like 18, 19, and he barely had any symptoms. But, you know, it's going to continue to do what it does. But I'm going to tell you what, Jesus is going to continue to do what he does, and that's steadiness and perseverance. Yeah. Yeah, I'm so encouraged. I am so encouraged. You know, I am just now got this thing going, and I want to tell you, you know, we had a baseball game here. We were scheduled. My season's winding down. As you know, I play baseball and try to get some games in. We've lost so many games this year because of the situation, and they couldn't have full seasons. And I would ask that you pray for this old guy. We start our playoffs tomorrow night right here in town in Canton, and I haven't played for a little bit of a while here now because of some cancellations, and we are out of town, and I just don't know about this old body. I'm just telling you, you know, I'm just going to believe that God will keep me. I got more aches and pains and pulled muscles and twitches and things, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. My wife's going to go down and watch me get hurt probably tomorrow night. I don't know, but, you know, if I come next week with crutches, you'll know exactly why, you know. Now, there's somebody here in this church, now I'm not going to name any names, that years ago came to one of my games, and I don't know if I should mention his name. Nah, I won't. I won't mention Tim Lee Alley's name at all. But, you know, I'm running the first, and I pulled a hamstring muscle, you know. And so, you know, it's just one of those things that when you get up to that age, you know, you got to be careful. So be careful as you navigate all these things. But I just ask for prayer for tomorrow night. I, you know, it's one of these situations where you lose a game and you're done, right? It's the one and done type thing. And so we'll see what happens. The old pastor can go out there and still run around a little bit and hit a ball and throw a ball, and we'll see what happens. But I'm just trusting God will just keep me just a couple more games, you know, a couple more games, right? You know, we've been talking about the last few weeks, reviving your life. And it just seems like a lot of us just really are encouraged that God is going to lead us right from this situation that we're in and have been in for all these months. You know, I'm reading these news stories now that says, you know, I remember here early summer, they said, wow, we get to the heat of the summer and things will calm down. You know, now I'm hearing, well, you know, we get to the cold, it'll calm down. Then there's this other story that says, wow, no, the cold is going to make it worse. You know, I'm going to tell you what, nothing's going to happen until Jesus Christ says it's going to happen, right? Whatever's going to happen is going to happen, but God's got our back. But here's what I want. I want to come out of this situation like I've been telling you for weeks. I want to come out completely changed. Thank you. I want to come out different than I went in. I want to come out revived, refreshed. You know, everyone's going to come out of the situation. I think they're going to be all beat up and run down. I think this is the greatest opportunity that God has given the church in my lifetime and yours. That we can do something bigger and better for the kingdom of God when they see the church of Jesus Christ revived and ready to go to the next season, they will stand up and take notice that there is something going on at Calvary Church or something going on in the church of Jesus Christ globally that they don't have, and they'll come running to it if we go out and show them what we have and they don't. If you're watching online, you need to listen because I just want a revived life. I want to be different. I want to be different. I want God to do something huge. It doesn't have to be this big thing, but I don't know about you, but I pray for God, give me the next big thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with praying for God to, you know, give you the next big thing, right? God, whatever that is, what do we got to do here at Calvary Church? What do I have to do? In my family, you know, we're like getting closer. I've got three of our kids here, and we got one more to go. I don't know. That would be a big thing. All three, four kids who live, you know, in various places showing up at God's house where pastor, where I preach as pastor, and I think that would be a big thing for me. I love that. So for that one that's listening right now, right, we'll see you next week. I just want that revived life. You know, let me go through a couple steps here that we talked about. We're going through the steps to get us there, the steps to get us to this revived life. We introduced those couple first two here, what, last week? And here's the first one I mentioned. You got to confess that you need it. You got to confess that you need a change. You know, we talked about the outside world. Their confession is salvation, right? Accepting Christ as Savior. You know, the church's confession that they need is they just need to be revitalized. You know, sometimes we go to church so much that we don't see things that are right in front of us, and we just need some revitalization going on, right? But in your personal life, I just want to be restored to that time when I accepted Christ as Savior and how excited I was. I was 9, and I was really excited at 9 because I remember walking out of the church saying, I got something that I didn't have when I went in. And then I remember a few years later when I just kind of backed away from the Lord and I came back to God, and I remember coming back to him and saying, wow, I got it again, and how excited I was. I was like this kid in the candy store, right? Boy, I got something really important. But I knew I needed something. That's what we talked about. And that thought that I told you was, goes like this: there will never be any life revival until we are willing to admit our desperate need for a change. Gotta have a change. Gotta have a change. The second point we talked about last week, we gotta admit the possibility of receiving it. You know, we admit that we need something different, but sometimes we don't even admit the possibility that it'll show up. I was talking to somebody here in the coffee shop this morning, Coffee, the Calvary Cafe, and he knows who he is. He said to me, Pastor, I just came expecting today. Boy, I love to hear that. Boy, do I love to hear that. If you can't walk into God's house expecting something, you're not going to find expecting something out in the community, because if you can't come in here thinking God's got something for me, you're going to have to wonder whether something's going to happen outside of God's house. There's a possibility that something's going to be different today than it was a week ago. We've got to admit that. We talked about Psalm 85, and we talked about that a lot last week, and how the psalmist talked about some things, and he mentions 6 things that reminds us, him, you, of the possibility that God's going to do something different, that God's going to do something new and fresh. And here are the 6 points. He said he shows favor. How many can say God shows favor? You've got to have at least one time in your life that God showed favor, right? Many more than one. He restores fortunes. I've been well off. I told you, I've been dirt poor. I've been well off. I've been dirt poor. And God restores. He does that. He forgave me. He forgives my iniquity, the psalmist said. So I know he can do it, and he'll do it again. He covered my sins, he mentions, Psalm 85. He set aside his wrath in Psalm 85. God, do it again. Just set aside your wrath. I don't deserve it, but set it aside. Turn your anger, he says, away from me. Nobody wants God's anger directly on him, right? We talked about that. So we're going to continue talking about the steps it takes to get you into this revived life. I know there's a couple of you that have a revived life because you came back from vacation. If that's you, just wave. Yeah, there they are right there. I knew, you know. You come back from, and I know we got a bunch of people going, like I mentioned, on vacation. You just get this, you know, revived physical life. You got a little bit, oh, I got a refreshing. I got a break. I got what I call the disconnect. Anybody understand what the disconnect means, right? You just got to shut it off and get some revival going on in your head because you got so much, right? You just need that disconnect. Pastors talk about it all the time. We're always talking about it, just a disconnect. Just give me a few baseballs, my disconnect. You know that by now, right? I get to go out on the field, and for 2.5-3 hours, no one can get a hold of me, right? No one can call me. My wife can't text me. The kids can't text. You can text, but I can't answer, you know? A lot of guys in the dugout, we shut off our phones, except this one guy. Now, if you're listening right now, I'm going to shut your phone off. We don't want to hear that crazy song. We hear it throughout the dugout. Each inning, that song goes off. I said, you got to shut that phone off, right? But that's the disconnect. We want to get a little time away just to kind of recharge the batteries, right? But we're going to move through the steps of how to do that. So you've got to admit the need. You've got to accept the fact that there's a possibility. Hope is what that means, that there's going to be a revival showing up in your life. But here's the third one as we move through a number of these, and we'll probably conclude next week. But here's the third one. We've got to recognize the authority and then accept the conditions to revive your life. You know, I remember going through my steps many times in my life. And sometimes I just didn't recognize the authority because it wasn't that I was saying I didn't think God existed or anything, but when you get to accepting that, you know, there's an authority there over you, that's okay. I'm good with that. I'm good with that. But then comes these conditions. It's kind of like the kids, and the kids are growing up. You know, you can do all these things and whatnot, but yeah, you can't do these. Here's the conditions to get your allowance, right? Here's the conditions to get the car. Here's what happens on the conditions if you violate the authorities on the road and you kind of get too many speeding tickets. I didn't do that, right? Here's what the conditions are, right? Staying in the lanes, like we talked about a few weeks ago, but there's a set of rules. So there's this authority over me, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sets these conditions. I need a change in my life. I need a revived life. Well, here I am, and here are my conditions. And I love that. Until the condition gets to something that I just say, I don't want to do. That, you know, I don't want to do that condition. That one's a little rougher on me. We don't set the rules. We don't set the conditions. We're not the one in charge. But here's the great cool thing about the whole thing. We are the beneficiary. I'm not the authority. I don't set the rules. I don't make the conditions. But I am the beneficiary of it all. I want that revived life, and I follow the authority, I follow the conditions, I get the reward. Now, that's a pretty good deal, right? That's a pretty good deal. I just got to follow. The problem I run into sometimes is I just don't like the conditions. And I stumble on those conditions a little bit. I want to see that reward. I see that reward right there, but there's a few conditions I got to adhere to get there, the Bible says. And the Bible talks about that condition being that conditional response. It's called obedience. So there it is. There's my reward. Sometimes I don't get to see it, but sometimes I do. And there's the revival in my life. There's that reward. I could see it, but there's some sacrifice. There's some conditions I got to adhere to get there. And I'm going to take you back to Psalm 85. And it reads like this. It goes Psalm 85, 3 through 7. We're going to jump back in this like we did last week. It goes, you set aside all your wrath. This is the psalmist speaking up to God. In turn, this is the prayer. Remember, we talked about Israel's prayer up to God. You set upon your wrath aside. Turn from your fierce anger. You restored us again, God our Savior, and put away your displeasure towards us. That's what I want. God, just put away your displeasure, right? Will you be angry with us forever? You know, the Israelites didn't do a whole lot of good things at times, right? So they're praying, saying, God, come back, come back. Will you prolong your anger through the generations after generations? Verse 6 goes, will you not revive us again? Boy, we're going to talk about that question here in a second. That your people may rejoice in you. Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. You're going to see something here in a couple of minutes that you probably never saw before. A little bit deeper than what we probably expected to see on a Sunday morning on Psalm 85, but it's really kind of cool. When you're talking about getting your life revived and refreshed. You know, verse 3 goes, set aside your wrath. I ask myself, what am I doing that God would be upset with me? And what am I doing? Well, the Israelites were praying, God, set aside your wrath, because they're starting to figure out some things here. So I take that fast forward till today, and I ask myself, Lord, what is it? If I want this revived life, if I want to come out of the situation we're in this world and be refreshed and ready to go, revived, I got to say to myself, what am I doing that maybe God's displeased with me? And I get out my list, right? And I start like, oh my goodness, is that right? Is it that long? He tells me to do this, you don't do this, and tells me to, you know, whatever the list is, right? Is God not happy with us? Is there something we could be doing that we're not, or we should be doing that we're not? Is there something in your life that you know God spoke to you and you're not doing it? And if you're not, you got to ask yourself why, because we're back to that obedience, conditional response thing, the authority, the conditions, that's what we're talking about, right? Point 3. And you got to say, what is it? And if God tells you, and then we sit on it, now we're wondering why we're not moving to this revival. Boy, we're going to talk about that. Then he goes to verse 4, restore us. Restore us. And then he adds the prayer the Israelites would add, would restore us. Again, when do you think, church, that if God restored us once, that would be enough? Wouldn't that be good enough that if God takes us to this new season, that we would never depart from that? And we would have to go back and now say it again, Lord, again? And how many of us are as bad as me and say again and again and again and again, right? What does that look like? Why would you cry out? Well, we cry out, restore us again, because we just went back to some of the old ways, kind of like they did. God gives them all these things, and they kind of regressed and went back to the old stuff. They went kind of back to the old place, right? Will you not revive us again? Boy, is that not a big question in verse 6. God, can you just revive me one more time? Really, what they're saying is this: God, can you give me another chance? God, can you give me one more chance? How many of us here have said that? That's what it means. God, give me another chance. Give me another chance. This time I'm going to show you. This time I'm going to be obedient. This time I'm going to be better than I ever was. This time I'm going to do things that I have never done. I'm going to just show you, God, that I will knock it out of the park. Whatever it is, I'm going to be different, is what that means. He moves on in the verse 7. He talks about, show us your unfailing love. What does that mean? God, demonstrate to me again what you are, how much you love me. It amazes me that I actually have prayed those types of prayers. God, do that again. Demonstrate that again for me. I don't think I got it right the first time. And he would respond, how many times do I got to do it? You know, how many times do I got to demonstrate my authority? How many times do I got to demonstrate and ask for your conditions and your obedience? What do you want from me is what I would get in my response. And the one I got one time, I remember this like it was yesterday, is, how much is too much? What do I got to do to get through to you? What's it take? When God says, what does it take to you? I got to really stand back and say, wow, now that's kind of heavy. What do I got to do now is what that means. What's the next steps? When do we finally arrive? How many miracles do I got to show you before you stand up and proclaim, wow, that's a changed life? What do I got to do? God starts speaking to me and says, what do you want me to do? How many times does that take? And then we get to verse 7, and there's this big phrase there. Grant me salvation. You read that, you kind of think to yourself that that's talking about like accepting Christ. Well, this is Psalms. This is the Old Testament. Christ is not on the scene yet. So does that mean God just save me? Save me from what? You know, really what that means in that psalm, the prayer is this. God, save me from your displeasure is what it means. Now that's a prayer, church. God, save me from being upset with me. God, save me from your displeasure in my life. There is nobody sitting here today or watching online that would want to ever say, God, send me your displeasure. Be upset with me. And that phrase right there in that prayer, it says, grant me that salvation. Give me this salvation is saying, give me the fact that I don't have to worry about your displeasure in my life anymore. Why? I got a revived life. I finally figured it out, so I don't have to worry about that anymore. I don't have to go there anymore. When I say I want to be different when I come out of this situation than when I came in, I'm not saying that I have seen God's displeasure. I am saying to you that I want more. This is what I want. I want more. That's the prayer on my heart. I'm not faced with displeasure. I'm faced with, I just want more of it now. I think he's dealt with me. So what does that mean? That means the revived life I'm seeking depends on me. It's crazy how we always think we're waiting on God. And I'm telling you, church, you're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you and I grew up with this concept of corporate revival. I heard my mom pray about it. I've talked to my grandmother about it. It was part of our family. I heard it all the time. You have as well, you know. I don't think God is sitting up there saying, nah, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that for them. I don't want to do that for them. Nah, you know, I'm just going to wait. I think what he's waiting for is some reaction to us, which we're going to talk about here in a second. And that concept really got to me, and I used the scripture last week, and I want to use it again because I'm not talking about money, but I'm talking about me. And it's Malachi 3:10 again, and I want to recite it to you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. There may be food in my house. That's my house, pastor's house. Test me on this. Okay, God, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I won't throw open the floodgates for you. This is me. I'm not preaching at you. I'm talking about your pastor. And heaven will pour out as many blessings so there won't be enough room to handle them all. That was me praying God to change me. I was as poor as poor could be. God, give me a new revival in my life. I don't have two nickels to rub together. I had nothing. This is 20-some-odd years. I had nothing. Everything has been ruined. It's gone. I have nothing left. And that's when I wrote the check. When I had nothing, I wrote it. I gave it. I brought it into the store. I brought it right in. I said, God, I don't have it to give. I wrote checks when I didn't have the money in the account. Yeah, that's illegal. I'm not telling you to do that. But I would walk to my mailbox on a Monday morning, and there would be a check there. That was the faith he took me to. And it brought me to that scripture. You want to be a changed life? You want revival in your life? Then you have to have some obedience. And you're not being obedient with some funds. I don't have any money. That's $67, I think I told you last week, or whatever it was, $67.43 or whatever that number. It's $67.40-some. I gave $100. I mean, now you're getting into faith, right? Back in the law, I remember, you know, the Bible talks about back in the law, the scripture says about that scripture, you know, they had to bring a lot of stuff, right? They had to bring produce and crops, and they had to bring the first fruits, right? They had to bring all that stuff in. And they wanted to see their lives being revived. They had to do the right thing in obedience, and they had to do what God's told them to do. And the reward's right in front of us, but they got to recognize the authority and then be obedient to it, right? The conditions, right? Be obedient to it. That was what I was doing. And they would do that under the law, right? And that was them acknowledging that God just owned everything. Same as today. We acknowledge that God owns everything, and he loans it to you and I, and you know, we do the right thing, and that's what God's called us to do. And then he says, test him on this. And hey, your pastor's done that so many times, I have lost track. Nicole, give me a witness. You know we have. We'll test them. And we do. But back in the Old Testament, it's this, you know, I recognize that you own everything, just like today, and now I'm going to do what I have to do. And they brought their produce and their crops and all the livestock in, and they did what they had to do. And I got to thinking, what was the purpose of that? God told them to do that, yeah. What was the end result? They were living under the law, and the law says this is what we do, to glorify God. And then I started doing something years ago. I started going into the New Testament. I'm looking at God's authority and his conditions and my obedience to get to that revived life. And I noticed there wasn't all these scriptures in the New Testament about tithing. I figured that out. I don't know if you figured that out yet, but there's not all these scriptures in the New Testament about it like they are in the Old Testament. How many knew that, right? Doesn't spell it out quite the same way. And I wanted to know why. So I started looking into that. The Jews living under the law of giving a tenth, and that's what they were told to do because they were living under the law. What should we do today as we live under grace? Wow, that rattled me. They're under a law and they're doing the right thing, and here we are now living under grace, and I figured it out. We live under grace. Does that mean we're excused? No, that means there's an expectation that we should be doing a whole lot more for the kingdom than we ever thought we could do. That's what it means, right? That's what it means. Here's a thought. It goes like this. The reward for faithful tithing in the Old Testament was material wealth. The reward for faithful stewardship in the present age today is spiritual riches. Church, give me spiritual riches for my revived life. Not things. Give me spiritual riches. He will deliver. God will deliver them from drought, plague, enemies, and locusts and make them a blessing on all the earth. If we do what? If we accept and recognize the authority of the Lord thy God, and we are obedient on the conditions he sets before you. I am just testifying to you what God did with my finances. That's all I'm doing. I'm not asking for your money. That's between you and God. I'm telling you what happened to me and my family and my life. Now we're beyond that. Don't have to worry about that anymore. I got it. Yeah, I got it. Thank you, Lord, for beating that into my head, right? That is it. So where in the world does this revived life start? It starts with your obedience. It starts with us being obedient. And the first thing I had to figure out 20-some-odd years ago was I got to be obedient in my finances. And I got it. You know, David had this devotion. You know the story of David. We've talked about David before. Boy, did he have some devotion. I'll talk about David a little bit more because I just love that guy. There's a few guys that I'm going to run up to, people in heaven when I get there. He's one of them. Paul is going to be the guy I'm going to look for, right? I'm going to find Paul and David and a handful of others. Outside, I look for my family as well, right? David called upon God's name, right? And David had this thing, this thing he lived by. He would get in trouble, but he always knew that God would never fail him. Right? Let me read you Psalm 62:12. B is the second part of Psalm 62:12. I want to read it, and it goes like this. Power belongs to you, God. There's the authority. There's the authority. Power belongs to you, and with you, Lord, is this unfailing love, and then you reward everyone according to what they have done. There is the condition. Now, think about your life right now. I think about David because I know the story so well. You know, I think about everything he's been through, everything he did, right? Our eyes can't be on churches. Our eyes can't be on things. Our eyes can't be on denominations and movements and religion and all that. And it brings me to this thought. It goes like this. When we look to man, we get what man can do. When we look to money, we get to what money can do. When we look to an organization, we get what the organization can do. When we look to a denomination, we get what the denomination can do. But church, when we look to God, we get what God can do. And let me tell you something. If I'm going to revive my life, it's not through the world's money, the churches, the denominations, and organizations, and all these other things. I just got to push those things aside and say, enough is enough. Father, what do I got to do? Yeah, Father, what do I got to do? It's that simple. I got to get a revived life. I'm going to come out of this change. Father, what do I got to do? But then I got to be obedient to when he answers. Here's what I want you to do, Pastor. And your pastor is getting a list right now. Uh-oh. Look out, right? God is starting to download the list. And I'm keeping a list. I got a list. And it's getting longer every week I preach this sermon series, right? I want to know what God can do. Here's another point. So we've got to recognize God's authority. We got to understand there's conditions there if we want to get a revival going on. And be obedient to those things. Then what? Then what do I do? Here it is. We must employ the methods for securing the revived life. What is the secret there? What are the methods? I introduced the methods 4 months ago, and you didn't even know it. Well, maybe you did. The biblical methods are praise and prayer. Where have you seen praise and prayer at this church before? Robin, somebody, shout it out. We did praise and prayer every Wednesday night during COVID, and then we did praise and prayer. Why did we do that? Because the Lord God spoke to me on my list. This is what you're going to do, and then we did it. Why? There's the authority. God says, do it. I said, fine, God, I will do that. I went to the leader of our prayer team, Robin. I said, here's what we're going to do. She says, we're on board. Let's do this. There's the authority speaking. The condition is obedience. We did it. What was the reward? Does anybody know here what the reward was on praise and prayer in this church? We had healing after healing after healing. Somebody better give a testimony and say that's exactly what happened, because you might have been the person that got touched and got healed. That is the beginning, moving steps to a revived life, and we're not even done. Praise and prayer are the methods. Psalm 34:1 reads, I will exalt the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. It doesn't say during a condition of when things are going good. It just says all the time. All the time. Goes back to David. Here's a thought for King David. Did you ever realize that King David always prayed? When he was seeking, he was praying. And then when the answer came, he praised. He would pray, and then when the answer showed up, see, I'm not putting a condition on the answer. I'm saying when the answer showed up, if you know the story of King David, you know there was a lot of great answers, but there were some rough times in there too. Right? He didn't do all the right things. But when he prayed, he then praised. Boy, that's a tough praise at the end of the prayer if the answer is not what you want it to be. When the answer is different than what you prayed for, but God says, this is the answer. This is the method to a revived life. This is what I want you to do. There is where the rubber meets the road. Do we do it? Do we walk down that road? Do we go there? And praise and prayer paves the way. And I'm going to go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14 because I just love the scripture. I used it last week, and you know it. If my people who are called by my name, right, it's on the screen behind me, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, conditions, turn from their wicked ways, conditions, being obedient, you have to do it, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, I'll heal their land. Solomon's saying, hey, what's the next step after I built this temple? What's going to happen if more things show up? Church, what's going to happen to us if COVID comes back? What's going to happen to us if something different shows up? Are we going to run away and say we can't do it anymore? Or are we going to face the enemy, face the Goliath right in the eye and say, thy God is bigger than this. God is bigger than this. I need not worry about going back to school. God is bigger than this. I'm not going to worry about going on vacation. God is bigger than this. I need a break or whatever the situation. I'm not telling you to be silly. I'm not telling you not to do the things that you should be doing. I'm telling you just seek heaven first, right? That's exactly. In the event that there's another drought, we've had some droughts this summer. In the event there's some type of locust, this is back in the Old Testament, or pestilence, or something shows up, the prayer was just humble yourself, pray, seek his face, and then turn from those wicked ways, the displeasure that God's got on your life because we're doing something we shouldn't be doing. That was the prayer. What's the next step? There's the next step. If my people would just do this and recognize the authority of who I am, follow the conditions and the obedience, here's what's going to happen. What's that sound like? Sounds to me like COVID. Sounds to me like COVID. This thing shows up. What are we made of? I think the church is going to have its greatest hour. I don't think the church is going to run when we face with Goliath. I think we're going to reach into our pocket. We're going to grab 5 smooth stones. We're going to go back to school, back to work, go on vacation, do whatever you got to do. Whatever God speaks to you, you're going to face an enemy. And you're going to say, God's got this. God's got this. I have nothing to do with it, but God's got it. And then you're going to walk in it, changed and revived, because there is praise on your lips and prayer. And there's a method to all that, right? There's a method. There's a thought that goes kind of like this. God is the authority. There's a condition for rescue, and the method is to pray. Praise is there too, but the most important one is we're going to pray, right? Psalm 85:6 goes like this. I read this. Will you not be revived again? The question is, will we not be revived again? We need revived again, church. We need revived again. What a story to tell our kids and our grandkids. Here's the story. It goes like this. It would be my grandkids, not born yet. I can see me sitting there with them on my lap. There is this day where this pestilence came into the land. You read about it in your history book. They called it coronavirus. They called it COVID-19. All these names, and people ran afraid. But the Church of Jesus Christ screamed, Psalm, will you not revive us again so we can rejoice in you again? I say we do that. I say we do that. I say we scream out to heaven, Lord God, just like they did in the Old Testament, Lord God, won't you just revive us again? Give us another one. Not because we're not doing the right things, just because we trust that you will do it. And then what are we going to do? What's the scripture say behind me on the screen? We will praise, is what it says. In church, we're going to pray it, and then we're going to praise it. That's what I think we need to do. You know, here's a final thought for you. There has never been a corporate revival that was not preceded by prayer. So why would our personal lives be any different? Never in the recorded time has God poured out his Spirit without prayer. I would ask our prayer team to meet here on Wednesdays. All you that are part of the prayer team that gets notified when someone has a need in our church, and the church as a whole, to focus in on sending revival by your prayer and praise. So we have a personal revival, and we have a corporate revival. I want them both. Because what happens, church, is when you have a personal revived life, it spreads. And God's people get revived. That's what I'm praying and praising for. That's what I want. Is that what you want? Can the people at Calvary Church and the ones that are listening and watching online, can we truly say, God, do this again? Another time. And I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to pray for it and rejoice when it happens, no matter what it looks like, no matter what I got to do. If it takes me doing things I don't like, I'm going to do it. If it takes me going to the ends of the earth, I'm going to do it. Are we ready? Are we? Are we ready? I'm going to ask you to bow your hearts. I'm going to ask you these two questions, similar to the questions I asked you last week. As we continue to prepare our hearts for a change, an outpouring, my first question is this. Who here recognizes that God is the all authority and sets the conditions of your revival? If that's you, shoot your hand up right now. Don't even waste a second. Thank you. Once you put your hand up, put it down. You at home, just do the exact same thing. If you can stand or sit and say, I recognize that God's the authority. I recognize there's some conditions and I'm going to walk in obedience right under those conditions. Right at home, you shoot your hand up. You say, yep, Pastor, that is who I am. I can do that. Another question I have for you is, who is here that's willing to publicly confess that they will commit to a stronger prayer life, a stronger praise life? The two key components of a revived life, praise and prayer, the Bible says. If that is you, shoot your hand up right now and say, I publicly confess, Pastor, that I am going to raise the standard of my prayer time. I publicly confess, Pastor, I am going to praise more than I ever have. Church, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that right now. Stand to your feet. This is a defining day in Calvary House because we're going to go out today praising and praying. And I'm going to say this to you. If this is the last time the Lord thy God gives you to praise his name corporately in Calvary Church, if this is it, if God spoke to you at home and said, this is the last time, Could we sing it loud? Could we say, God, here I am? Could I sing it so loud that the street on the people going by hear us? The house at the end of the driveway hears the praise coming from Calvary. Can we sing it that loud? Can we do it? Let's find out. I pray in Jesus' name that we are going to prayer and we're going to praise. Somebody shout amen, and let's do that.